welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a brief discussion of legal issues and practical insights. Please note that the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended or to be construed as legal advice. We hope that you enjoy the program.
Welcome. My name is Bert Garland. I'm a shareholder in the St. Louis office of Ogletree Deacons. We are going to be discussing reopening Missouri and taking a look at the state and local recovery plans that the state of Missouri has implemented. I'll be presenting with two other attorneys from Ogletree Deacons. Sean, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Sean Oliveira. I'm the newest associate in the St. Louis Ogletree Deacons office.
And I'm Claudia Tran, and I work on the other side of the state. I am in Ogletree Deacons Kansas City office.
As most of you all know, effective this past Monday, Missouri implemented its Show Me Strong recovery plan. May 4th, Missouri announced that it was going to be implementing its reopening phase, and the city and the county of St. Louis really largely reopened this May 18th, this past Monday. Claudia, what about Kansas City? When did they start to reopen?
So Kansas City started its reopening officially on May 15th. While we did actually have a soft opening the week leading up to May 15th, all the official guidelines and everything went into place right on Friday. So we've only been open a couple days.
So Kansas City was just a little bit ahead of St. Louis City and St. Louis County on that. Sean, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Missouri reopening plan?
Sure. So it's a little confusing. On the one hand, the reopening order really only had a couple of requirements. So the main thing was all businesses have to practice social distancing. They did talk about reopening restaurants, that they can offer dining in services, provided that they're following social distancing and other precautionary public health measures. The two specifics they gave is proper spacing of at least 6 feet between tables and lack of communal seating areas to parties that aren't connected. And I take that to mean families in some way, and that there's no more than 10 people at a single table. Then on top of that, on the Show Me Strong reopening website, there's actually a lot of information, but they call them guidelines. Although some of that's a little bit confusing because they'll use words like businesses must or businesses shall. Or businesses are required to in some instances. And then in other instances, it looks like they're actually guidelines. Just to give an example, one thing they say is that all businesses have to develop an infectious disease preparedness and response plan that specifies that they have to include policies and procedures for workforce contact tracing when an employee tests positive for COVID-19. So there is some confusion, I think, between the guidelines, what's required in the guidelines, and then what's required in the actual order.
Yeah, and I think there's been a lot of confusion around some of those issues. I feel like I've spent the bulk of my time the last few days dealing with the question of, so do we really have to wear face masks or not? Claudia, can you shed any light on that?
Like what Sean was saying, masks are again a suggestion, but not a requirement in this state. While both Kansas City and St. Louis have released guidance saying that individuals should wear them when they're out and about or at their place of work, and employers and businesses could require them per a lot of the guidelines that have been released, the state currently has not imposed any of its own requirements either within the order or within any other sort of emergency order. Governor Parson, for example, did not wear a mask recently when he was touring reopened businesses and later defended the decision by saying it was up to each person's individual decisions. And so while it's been very much encouraged, and for example, over here in Kansas City, the guidelines have actually suggested that businesses deny business to customers who refuse to wear a mask. It is not a requirement in any form of law right now.
Yeah, and I think that's consistent with what we're seeing in St. Louis. There was an article that quoted County Executive Sam Page from about a week ago, where Sam Page said that the county is not really going to be enforcing anything related to masks, that he sort of thinks it's going to be up to the public to enforce that. And if a business is not wearing masks, then he doesn't think the public will end up going there. Also, the other day on Monday, Mayor Lyda Crewson conducted a press conference. She specifically said masks are not being mandated for the public. And It really relates to an enforcement issue that she doesn't want to put employers in the position of having to try to enforce mask wearing requirements. So I think what you're saying, Claudia, is completely consistent with what we're seeing here over on the other side of the state here in St. Louis. Sean, you mentioned a response plan or something required by some of these state plans. What is an infectious disease preparedness and response plan, and is it required?
Yeah, good question. So as far as whether it's required or not, the guidelines say that it's required, that businesses have to begin to develop one. But I don't know that they're going to be out there looking and asking whether you have one of these plans. As far as what it's supposed to be, on some level, it's anyone's guess. The only thing that they really specify is that it has to have some sort of a contact tracing plan if an employee there tests positive for COVID-19. But if I were going to say, you know, here's what I would do for businesses, I would say, go with the CDC guidance, maybe develop a plan based upon the guidelines that Missouri gave under the business section of the Show Me Strong plan. If there's four things that you really would have to cover, I would say it would be number one, protective equipment. What kinds of protective equipment are you going to have and who's going to be wearing it? Number two, temperature checks of some sort or some sort of screening of employees. Number three, you know, testing and isolating and contact tracing, like having, a contact tracing plan. And then number four, the big one would be sanitation and disinfection of common and high traffic areas, some sort of plan for that and what to do if somebody does test positive, how much to disinfect and what areas to disinfect and how long to leave them closed, that kind of thing.
What do we anticipate happening next? What do we see coming down the road as far as returning to work?
So Missouri has decided that they will have this in place through the end of the month. It's actually in place to expire Sunday, May 31st. However, the government has released that they will reevaluate the order before it expires, and it may be further restricted or loosened depending on what the data shows. And right now it looks like the data in Missouri is kind of going a little bit up, a little bit down. It looks like from the data, there was probably 20 less cases confirmed yesterday as there were on Monday. And so we anticipate that, especially given how long it took for Missouri to even order to be shut down, it's very unlikely that we will harden restrictions again. The only question is if they will be loosened as we move into this first part of the summer, or if they will stay the same as they are now.
Right. And the Show Me Strong Recovery Plan, there's no idea about how many phases there are or when we move into the next phase, the same way that over in Illinois, they sort of have laid out exactly when you move from one phase to the next. It's really quite confusing.
Sean, you're talking about the Missouri statewide plan, of course. Do the counties and cities have any discretion to make their own plans?
The recovery plan for Missouri for the statewide plan basically explains that it's a floor, not a ceiling. And consistent with the CDC and White House guidance, Missouri is basically allowing counties and cities and other municipalities to concoct or to come up with their own plans. The plans can't be looser or more flexible than Missouri's plan. They can only sort of go up and be more restrictive.
What about Kansas City, Claudia? How does Kansas City's plan differ from the state plan?
So Kansas City's broken up into a couple of different jurisdictions. The metropolitan area of Kansas City includes areas on both sides of the state. And so on the Missouri side, what you have is you have Kansas City itself, which is run by Mayor Quentin Lucas, who has released his own emergency order regarding reopening Missouri. And then you have Jackson County, which would be the county that Kansas City lies in, but it takes over more than just the Kansas City area. And so there's East Jackson County and other parts of Jackson County that may not be covered by Mayor Lucas's order. And so the difference here is really a lot of the guidelines are pretty much the same, but Jackson County follows much more closely to the Missouri State Recovery Plan versus Kansas City has kind of invented its own rule called the 10-10-10 rule.
And what is that?
The 10-10-10 rule, this creation by Kansas City, which allows for gatherings of 10% of the building occupancy or 10 persons inside, whichever number is greater. Those are the hard requirements. So those are the capacity requirements that each non-essential and essential business that is open must follow. However, the last 10 in this rule, 10-10-10, refers to the suggestion that businesses maintain records of individuals, customers, or employees who stay in the building or in the gathering for longer than 10 minutes. And this part of the 10 is a suggestion. Again, kind of like what Sean and I were talking about earlier in this podcast, there's a lot of things in this Missouri plan and in the city plans that are suggestions versus requirements, and this is suggestions. So Kansas City kind of rolled back some guidance, and at first it said that employers and businesses were required to keep these records, but they've actually walked it back and said that this is actually just a very strong suggestion. And it's encouraged in order to allow easier contact tracing by the health department as we start to reopen. And so if businesses do choose to maintain these records, they should be kept for a minimum of 30 days.
So it sounds like over in Kansas City, people are going to really need to brush up on their mathematical skills as they try to navigate through this. Sean, how do the St. Louis plans differ from the state plan?
The plans over here in St. Louis, you got one for the county and one for the city. That those are their general orders. And then pretty shortly after that, in fact, I think it was the same day, they came together to issue St. Louis regional guidance, which really comes down to guidance for specific businesses. In terms of the county plan, they're both way more extensive than the statewide plan. Something I failed to mention when we were talking about the statewide plan was, and the county follows the state in this, they both limit the number of individuals in any particular location to 25% or less of their authorized fire or building code occupancy when the facility has a square footage of less than 10,000 square feet, or 10% or less of the entity's authorized fire or building code occupancy when the facility has more than 10,000 square feet.
That's just for retail, though, correct?
For businesses that engage in direct interactions with members of the public, that includes goods for sale, food, or drink for consumption, as well as personal services requiring sustained in-person contact. And it also includes religious or spiritual services.
For the general office building, however, those mathematics are not going to apply.
That's right.
Yeah, and one of the questions I've been dealing with in addition to the face mask issue all week is the issue of, what do we do when we've got employees in the workplace? Do they have to wear their masks? And of course, right, the Missouri rule and then the county and the city plan for St. Louis say that you're supposed to, it actually says you must wear a face mask at all times, except when you are alone in an enclosed space, or there's a medical reason why somebody can't wear a mask. So very narrow exceptions. And what I've been dealing with much of this week is, what does it mean to be in an enclosed space? Sean, can you shed any light on that?
Yeah, so I've been getting that question too, and I know, you know, there's no precedent for this, so it's really hard to sort of pin it down. I think one of the questions I got was, suppose there are two people working in an open warehouse that never come in contact with each other and are 2,000 feet apart. They're not technically alone, but they are basically alone working in an enclosed area. Again, there's no guidance, so I think you could take a very narrow reading of it, or you could take a very broad reading of it. If you take a broad reading of it, then you're going to be saying that those two folks in the manufacturing plant are probably alone and working in an enclosed area because they never come in contact with each other. And that seems to be along the spirit of the rules that they're putting out, because it seems more like, look, what we're interested in is social distancing and then being able to protect ourselves when we're not able to social distance. But the narrow reading, if you were to read some of the CDC guidance out there and the OSHA guidance and everything, they're talking about ventilation systems. And if you're working in a space where the ventilation system doesn't have, I think it's MERV 13 filters, then even if you're working in an office with your door shut, that may not be technically working alone or in a closed area, because you're actually breathing the air of everybody else that is in their offices. But I think that's not the spirit of the order. I think the spirit of the order is when you're able to social distance, as opposed to when you're not able to social distance.
Yeah, and I think that's consistent with how I've been advising people most of the week that, your example exactly, that if you have two people in a warehouse that's 2,000 square feet and one person's working within the first 10 square feet of that warehouse and the other person's working within the last 10 square feet of that warehouse, they never come in contact with one another. They are more than appropriately social distanced. And therefore, the face covering would not be required. And I've been analogizing this to the restaurant situation. Obviously, in the restaurants are required to social distance the patrons, but people aren't going to be wearing masks when they're in the restaurant and eating. And they're certainly going to be a lot closer to each other in the restaurant than they are going to be in this hypothetical warehouse that we just discussed. And one of the issues that I've seen repeatedly this week is the issue of cubicles in an open office space. And I have been advising clients again that you have to sort of read these orders with an eye toward common sense. And if individuals are in a cubicle that is largely enclosed and they are more than 6 feet apart from the person in the next cubicle over, that I think that qualifies for social distancing and the face covering does not need to be worn. Claudia, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. Over here in Kansas City, a lot of what we have been advising our employers is that first and foremost, the requirements in Kansas City are so focused on implementing social distancing that if social distancing is possible and individuals are able to be socially distanced, then the mask part is not as important, is probably not the right word there, but probably not as high on the totem pole in terms of maintaining the guidance that we've been given. And the other thing, of course, as I'm sure it is in St. Louis, is that the ability to clean and disinfect is really important. And so in Kansas City, we've required, especially in Jackson County, that employers put together a plan, just like in St. Louis, where you're able to explain how you're implementing social distancing, how you're implementing cleaning and disinfecting, and in the absence of that, if you're requiring masks.
I thought I'd throw one more question out there. Do any of these orders have any whistleblower type clauses, and how are these orders going to be enforced?
I think they all have whistleblower clauses. I don't know that the state plan does, but I believe both the county and the city do. As far as enforcement, if I recall, they all say state or local law enforcement have the authority to enforce these things, but from what I've seen, the law enforcement is saying, look, first we're going to give people warnings. This isn't really about punishing people. This is really more about reminding folks that, hey, you might need to have a face covering on there. You got too many people in this gathering, that kind of thing. They're only going to move to ticketing and anything like that if people are refusing to comply after they've talked to them.
Yeah, that's a great question, Bert. It's interesting because over here, I don't think that our orders have addressed that particular issue, but they did address that the health department, especially in Jackson County specifically, said that they did not want businesses coming back and having the health department check off or sign off on anything that they've implemented, and instead have been saying that you should just read the guidelines, which are vague, and implement as best as you can. So going down the line, I think that's a really great question to keep in mind as we see how people interpret these guidelines.
I think you both are exactly correct on that. And, I think, like I said, what the county executive Sam Page and Mayor Crewson were saying, that they're largely going to be relying on the public to enforce these things. One thing I will point out is that it's not just a matter of enforcement from the government and even the public. Part of it is the optics of the situation. And do you want to be the business that the employees call up or customers call up and complain to the news networks that we're open and we're not enforcing the state orders, we're not requiring face masks, we're not requiring social distancing, and all of a sudden you've got a media storm on your hands? So, I would encourage anybody who's listening to the podcast to not only consider the law itself, but to consider the optics of the situation. So with that, we're going to wrap up the podcast here. Let me just refer everybody real quickly to an article that Sean, Claudia, and I wrote with one of our colleagues, Brad Tharp, that is posted on Ogletree's website. You can find it on ogletree.com, an article we wrote that provides much more detail on what's required under the Missouri state order and the city and county and Kansas City orders that have been put into effect. So with that, I will conclude. And Sean and Claudia, thank you so much for participating on this podcast.
Thank you, Bert. And thank you, Claudia. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes or through your favorite podcast service. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended or to be construed as legal advice.